Right. I want to go to Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 3. I know Taylor, he used this text Tuesday. I didn't borrow his outline. So I know the last year, this is kind of the go-to text for a New Year's service, I guess. But I'm just going to use it as a springboard for the thought. I'm going to preach on new beginnings this morning. New beginnings. I remember last year we went to this the pastor and his Mighty Men conference, and my mind's blank now, Brother Jonathan. What was the text? Four out of the five preachers we heard use, but four of the preachers that we heard used the same text, and they all give us something different. Yeah, that's right. That's right. When Aaron and Hur lifted up Moses' hands there in the book of Exodus. And man, it was all great. So what Taylor gave you is great. I don't know about what I'm going to give you, but it's going to be truth. Amen. Man, this is a dead crowd this morning. Make sure ain't no casket up there nowhere. Make sure I wasn't at a funeral. Amen. Philippians 3. Look at verse number 13 and 14. Philippians 3, one of the prison letters, actually. Paul was in prison writing this letter. And it's amazing, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. That's right. The whole theme of the book of Philippians is joy, and Paul's writing from prison. He's in there for the gospel. Matter of fact, he was beaten, book of Acts chapter 16 in Philippi. Midnight, him and Silas began to sing and praise the Lord. He's writing, folks, in a dungeon. And folks, he didn't have a weight room. He didn't have big screen televisions. He was in a dungeon.
That's right.
It was a mess. I mean, I won't go into great details, but those prisons in those days were filthy, were just wretched. He's there for lifting up the name of Christ. And the whole theme of the book, he'd just been beaten, thrown in prison, stocks and chains. And at midnight, he began to sing and praise and pray. And God moved in.
Amen.
You know what he did? He counted it all joy. He counted all joy. Folks, we are spiritually, some of us are in a prison, kind of. We're in a bad, dark place. But the Lord is here.
Amen.
The Lord was there.
That's right.
And that's the reason. Paul didn't count it all joy because he was hurting, but the cause of his pain. And the Christ of his pain. And how God touched him and blessed him. And the whole theme is joy of the book. Notice verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm pressing for the high calling of God, the complete and perfect Christian life. He said, I'm striving for it. Now, I understand there'll be no perfection, sinless perfection, until these old vile bodies are changed. But that still should not omit us striving for it. Every day, striving to be a better person, a better Christian. Striving to be more Christ-like. Amen. Paul pressed toward that. Just like someone bench pressing, they pressing that up. Paul said, I want to press forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray you bless this time. Lord, take my feeble efforts. Use it for your glory. Touch your people in Christ's name. Amen and amen. New beginnings. Now, Tuesday night, we closed out 2024. And at midnight, we was praying on the altar and a new year came. I thank God for another year. I appreciate what God's allowed me to do last year, and I'm looking forward to what has for us this year. Not only as me as an individual Christian, but as the church as a whole. I'm looking forward. God's been good. We've seen people saved last year. I'm looking forward to seeing people saved this year. We've had folks added to the church this past year. I want to see folks added to the church this coming year. I want to see God's people growing. We've seen some of God's people grow greatly last year. I want to see them continue to grow this year. Amen. And mature in Christ. It's hard to believe in just a couple of weeks or so, the Lord birthed this church 28 years ago. It's amazing to me, 28 years. Me and some of the rest of us were just kids when God started this church, just young adults. And God's allowed us to be here so far, its whole duration, 28 years, and to God be the glory. We've had ups and we've had downs. I've fallen, I've got up, and so have you. But God's been faithful through it. And I'm thankful, and I hope if it be the Lord's will, He'll give us many more years. But now if the trump of God sounds, the devil can have it all. But here we have the first Sunday of the new year. Now, Paul made a statement. He made these statements in the text. Now, here's why Satan, by looking at those two verses, we can see what Satan's agenda is for all of us that are born again. In other words, preacher, how do you see that? What God wants for us is the opposite of what Satan wants for us. And so he made it clear in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are you saying? If that's what the Lord wants for us, then Satan wants us to remember those things which are behind. He wants us not to press forward. He wants us to quit and cower down. That word forgetting those things which are behind, that word forgetting means losing the remembrance of. If we lose the remembrance of past failures and we lose the remembrance of times we failed God and times we missed the mark, but yet we know we've repented of that, we confess that sin and God's cleansed that sin and we've got up by the grace of God, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. Amen. So the Lord said, I'll tell you what I want you to do in 2024. I want you to forget those things that are behind. And he said, forgetting. Now, that word forgetting is a present participle that's expressing continuous or repeated action.
That's right.
In other words, the Lord wants us to continue forgetting those things that are behind.
Amen.
He wants us every day to forget that. Hey, the devil wants you to remember them. He wants you to hold on to them, because if you do, that guilt will rise up. And folks, I'm glad sin brings a feeling of that guilt, but once it's under the blood, guilt's gone.
Amen.
He wants you to stay under the guilt of that. And if you stay under the guilt of that, then you know what? Hey, you will not be able to press toward the mark. You'll not be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He wants you to stay right there, bogged down in a failure.
Right.
Now we have scars. Oh, I have a few scars on me. I got a scar on my thumb where I closed the door on my thumb when I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And when I look at it, I remember. But you know what? I don't let it bind me. You know why? I got a scar there that reminds me, hey, don't put your thumb in the car door no more. And the only thing that scars, spiritually scars in our lives, ought to do to us, that since we've got them right with God, is to use them not to keep us back or not to keep us down, but to keep us moving forward. I don't want to do that again.
Amen.
I know what happened. I got scars in my chin from bicycle wrecks and football stuff, and I look at those scars and they're there. Reminds me, don't look back at your oldest sister and cousin trying to get you to wreck going down a hill. We were lined up on top of the street where we lived there in Campobello, and we was going to race. Ready, set, go. I took off. Woo! And I turned around and it was ha ha, and I flipped that bicycle. Can I say something to you? This is deep. If you keep looking back at what you was, you're going to wreck. If you keep looking back, see, the devil wants you to dwell on it in the negative aspect that, man, did I fail God or did I fail God? Did I mess up or did I mess up? Oh, what a wretch I am, oh Lord. And he wants you to stay in that place of defeat. But God, hey, I look at this scar on my thumb. You know what I say? Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. I still got a thumb. Still got a chin. Hey, we look back and think, say, Lord, oh, I'm so sorry how I failed you. I don't want to go back there again. And so these scars remind me. God showed me mercy. He loved me back into fellowship. And I don't want to do that no more. So, forgetting those things which are behind. Losing the remembrance of. Now, it's the same thing forgetting. It's expressing continuous or repeated action. The same thought, the same present participle is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse number 10. Bible says, when it says, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a continuous or repeated thing. We're always been increasing in the knowledge of God. And that same aspect is forgetting, always forgetting the things that are behind. If you have not dealt with it, deal with it. You cannot just ignore it and forget about it. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost won't let you do that. But you can deal with it with God. Get it right with God and get it right with man. If there's somebody you need to get it right with, then you forget it.
Right.
Then you move forward. Anybody that brings up your past and knowingly that you have repented, got it right, walking straight, if they bring it up, they are not spirit-filled believers. Because the Lord said, forgetting those things which are behind. Daily, don't let the past of your life, 2024, well, I made mistakes, so did you. 2024, I didn't pray enough. Neither did you. We can go on and on and on and on and on. However, repent of it, and by the grace of God, forget that and move forward.
Amen.
Forget that and move forward. Forgetting every day. Don't stay bogged in that.
Amen.
So, Satan wants us to bring up our past. He wants to bring it up to our minds to do what? To discourage us, to defeat us. And his go-to thing to try to use discouragement to defeat us is our past.
That's right.
And those that I come in contact with who always wants to talk about the negative of people's past, and that's all they want to remember, they're not spirit-filled. They're not right with God, and I pay them no attention. Come on. Don't try to tear down any preacher bringing up a past to me. Don't try to tear down any Christian trying to bring up a past. If I know they've dealt with that, got that right with God, and I understand sometimes a man of God can disqualify himself of being a pastor, but it don't disqualify himself of being a Christian. Are you listening to me? Don't disqualify him from being a Christian. He can get right with God. And hey, trust me, he hates it more than you do. Man, I don't know why I'm preaching that. But you listen to me. Satan will use it. Satan uses our past. That's why the Lord said, hey, one of the ways to keep God's people from getting defeated and discouraged, I want y'all to forget those things. I want y'all to forget those things. Has anybody ever done something wrong to you and came and apologized to you? And the guilt of that individual is so strong, every time you see them, every time you're around them, they bring it up and they say, man, I hate that. And finally you say, stop. It's forgotten. Stop. Now a lot of people want to use it to keep over people's head. Folks, if you've done me wrong, tell me you're sorry. I'm going to say, I forgive you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forget about it. My mind's blowed this week. Almost 40 years. I had a fella tell a lie on me. Almost 40 years ago. How old am I? Yeah, 40 years ago. I was a teenager. Told a lie on me. Went to her and told a lie on me. And for a long time, I was hoping to run into it. Because I was going to run into it. Amen. I'm walking through Mary Black Hospital. Was it Friday? Thursday? It was Thursday or Friday. Friday, okay. Y'all hold on. We're going to discuss this thing. And I'm walking through there, and he's coming through, and I said, how you doing? He didn't hardly recognize. He turned around and said, he called my name. He said, come here a minute. And he said, I think about you from time to time. He said, I want to apologize for what I said. I could have hit the floor. Honestly, over the years, I've forgotten it. No big, you know, right? It ain't consumed my life. Don't let that stuff consume your life.
Amen.
But he stopped me. And he said, if I can ever do anything for you. You know what he told me? He said, I work for the solicitor's office. If I ever do anything for you, I said, noted. Noted. You ain't never going to live that down, buddy. That you told me what you... No, I'm just kidding. I said, it's all water under the bridge. Forgiven, I ain't thought much about it. We shook hands and went on about our business. But it had been bothering him. Folks, when you do people wrong, it ought to bother you. When you lie on them, it ought to bother you. If it don't bother you, something wrong. If you have hate in your heart, spite in your heart, if you have some type of ought against somebody in your heart, and you'd rather carry it around because in your mind it gives you some type of upper hand, man, you're living miserable. By the grace of God, we don't want to do that. But forgetting those things, the Lord wants us to forget. Hey, forgetting those things that are behind. Right. Oh, do you understand why your windshield is bigger than your rear view mirror?
Amen.
You ever thought about that? Why your windshield is bigger than your rear view. Why? Because that's where you focus on where you're going, not where you've been.
That's right.
Now, he wants us to glance at it a little while and say, thank you, Lord, for getting me another mile. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through that storm. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me on that day. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
But he don't want us to focus on it because Satan will use it as a ball bat to beat us down with it. Let me give you four quick things, folks. Again, this is a very simple message. New beginnings. Now, there's four areas of new beginnings. I want to mention, and I'm going to be done. Number one, we can have a new beginning of faith. We can have a new beginning of faith. Go into this year with a determined heart and a determined mind to trust the Lord with everything. Get this, last year, things didn't go as we had planned. Everything didn't go as you planned last year. But remember this, but the Lord protected you, He provided for you, and He is still pursued after you. Oh, He done all of that while we were fretting over it. We talk about new beginning of faith, we're talking about trust. Trust. I want to trust God more this year than I did last year. Bible says this in Psalm 18:2, I will trust my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 55:23, but I will trust thee. Psalm 56 verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. You cannot trust God and be afraid at the same time. I will trust God, not be afraid. I'll be afraid. I won't trust God. Remember, God didn't give the spirit of fear, but of love and a power and of a sound mind. So we can have a new beginning of faith. I want my faith to increase this year. I want my faith to increase. Little things that plague our minds and we get full of doubt. Folks, you remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist? Out of everybody, every man born of woman has never been a greater than John the Baptist. Out of every man born of woman, there's never been a greater than John the Baptist. But he had a problem. He had a battle with doubt. He got to a place, his kind of preaching put him in jail. Eventually got his head cut off. And in the dark place of his life, he began to doubt. He told his disciples, you go find him. You ask him, is he really the one? Is he really the one? Or should we seek for another? The one that leaped in his mother's womb when he heard about him. The one that baptized him, and the Holy Trinity was present. The Son of God. The Father spoke from the throne. The Spirit lit on him like a dove. And now he's in a dark place in that year. And he's doubting. He's doubting. He's not trusting. He's doubting. I like when they found Jesus and said, John the Baptist wanted us to ask you a question. Are you the one, or shall we seek for another? Christ didn't get mad. He said, you go tell John this. The lame's walking. The dead's been risen. People's getting saved. You tell him, I am the one. Amen. Folks, sometimes we need to be reminded of just who he is.
That's right.
And what he's doing and what he can do. This year, we can have a new beginning of faith. A new beginning of faith. A new beginning of trusting the Lord. Where are we at with our trust? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. Proverbs 3:5. That's a verse to put in memory if you don't have it in memory yet. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How's the Lord want us to trust Him? With all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why? Because our own understanding is limited. A lot of times it's based on feelings. Lean not. Don't prop up on your feelings this year. You prop up on your feelings, you're going to fall. You're going to fold. You're going to become fatigued. Next thing you know, you fell out. Well, Jonathan preached on Eutychus. When he fell, he was laid there dead, they raised him up. He began to lean. You fell out. Secondly, we can have a new beginning of faith. Listen to this. I'm going to tag this on. We can have a new beginning of faithfulness this year. Folks, all through the Scriptures, I looked it up last night, and of course I didn't write everything down, but all through the Scripture, the Bible talks about God's faithfulness to us. Y'all get that? All through the Word of God. Matter of fact, Lamentations 3:23, great is thy what? Faithfulness. Get this. Any relationship that is one-sided won't last.
That's
right.
Any relationship. So we take for granted that he will be faithful. He will be faithful to us. The Bible said he's faithful to usward. That's what Peter said. He is faithful to usward. And we want a healthy Christian relationship with Christ, do we not?
That's right.
You ought to if you're saved.
Right.
You cannot have it. You cannot have it if you're not faithful to him.
Right.
If you're not faithful to him, you cannot have it. Please, please don't try to... Please don't, you know... I know I'm not the smartest tool in the toolbox. But man, don't tell me, boy, I love Jesus and you're not faithful. Don't tell me how much you want God in your heart and life, how much we feel if you're not faithful. We can determine this year to be faithful to God. We can turn. Now, three areas. We can be faithful to God with our time. Spending time with the Lord, that's a must.
Amen.
We can be faithful to God in his temple or the church, God's house. We can be faithful with his task, serving the Lord. Simple, I told you it was simple. Determine to be faithful with your time. Be faithful in his house. Be faithful serving the Lord this year. Be faithful. I'm going to say this. The Spirit of God just brought it to me. Faithfulness has to trump fickleness. Y'all want to write that down. Faithfulness has to trump fickleness. Man, that's burning me up. Faithfulness, I'm going to keep saying it till I don't want to say it no more. Faithfulness has to trump fickleness. Fickleness comes from following feelings. Faithfulness comes by following the Word. Just simply being and doing what God told you to be. That's faithful's not hard. Just do what you're told. You're told to go to church. You're told to pray. You're told to live holy. Come on. I kick this off. You're told to tithe. You're told to be a witness. Faithfulness is just simply say, all right, Lord, your commandments are not grievous. I'm going to do what you say. And y'all, as parents, ever said this? Just do what you're told. That sermon's been preached at my house a bunch. Hey, you want life to be easy? You want life to be better? Just do what you're told. You don't want to see my temperature go up to 150? Do what you're told. It scares you when I get red faced. Do what you're told.
Amen.
When you're told. Not you on my calendar, my time. I'm not on your time. Do it. Do what you told when you told to do it. Harmony. Peace in the house. Everybody gets along when we do what we're told. Faithfulness. It's just doing what God told us to do. Just doing what God told us to do. I read this morning. It's a picture of a lady. She saw all the pieces. She's crying. Says she went to a biblically sound church. And in the pastor's sermon, he didn't mention one time how good a person she was. The only good in us is him. If you take Christ out of the equation of my life, you see wretchedness. You see wickedness. You see ungodliness. There's nothing. The Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. So what we need to do is, you just, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Lift him up in our lives. Be faithful to do that. Be faithful to do that. Two things not to let go to your head this year. Success and failure. Two things not to let go of your head this year. Success and failure. Because both could change any minute. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Let me give you another one quickly. We're going. A new beginning of faith, new beginning of faithfulness. Then listen to this. Hold on to this one. We can have a new beginning of fighting. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. It's good, but it's still a fight. Fight against Satan's lies and temptations. How do you do it? Through the word and prayer. Fight against the flesh's pull and persuasions. How do you do it? Through the word and prayer. Fight against the world's allures and attractions. How do I do it? Through the word and through prayer. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Preacher, I lost a bunch of battles last year. Forgetting those things which are behind. Put on the whole armor of God and march forward in the fight. With a purpose of faithfulness. That you may not feel like it. You may not feel good. You may not feel spiritual. But I'm going to do what God said anyway. Folks, every time you pray, you are not going to feel His presence. But it don't matter if you feel it. He promised He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. Well, I feel like I ain't going to read my Bible. I don't feel like I'm getting nothing out of it. Do it because He said so. He will eventually go to talking to you. He's not going to come down out of a voice and talk to you. He's going to talk to you through His Spirit and through His Word. You read His Word, the Holy Spirit will talk to you through His Word. Don't matter if you feel like you're getting anything or not, just do it. Fight against this flesh, the pull of it. The flesh isn't saved. Your flesh isn't saved. Your flesh isn't going to heaven. It's going back to the dust from which it was formed. We're getting a new body. Praise the Lord. Your flesh hates going to church. Mine does too. Your flesh hates praying. Your flesh hates living separated. Your flesh hates it. The things that the flesh wants to do is easy and fun and gratifying, but it's temporary. The things you do for God is what will last. It's what will show up. And I promise you, when it's all said and done, you'll be glad you did. Let me cut this off and give you the last thing. A new beginning of faith, a new beginning of faithfulness, a new beginning of fighting. Then lastly, it could be a new beginning for the future for you today. You went through last year unsaved. God dealt with you, but you rejected. You heard the gospel that Christ died for you. He was buried and rose again the third day, and the Spirit of God began to deal with your heart, but you rejected. But God has shown you mercy and give you another year. Right now, your future is grim. Your future is awful. You're condemned and you're going to hell. That's your future without Christ. That's your future without Christ. Why go into this year with that same condemnation when if you get born again, you'll be under no condemnation anymore? You'll be a child of God. Your name be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be a Christian. Your future is set. This could be the year. Hey, a new beginning of the future. Your future. Folks, can I say something to you? You know, kids used to walk around and do this. Calling each other a loser. I don't like that. Don't let me see you do that. Some of y'all are going to walk up to me and go, don't do that. Then one thing makes a person a loser, and that's when they leave Christ out of their life. When they leave Jesus out of their life. Because you lose everything. You die without Christ, you've lost everything. When a debt's been paid in your behalf, your sin's been to the cross and paid for, and you won't accept Christ, that's a loser. You're going to lose. But you can get saved today. You might be saved today and you time, hey, I need to repent of my sins. I got things in my life that's hindering me from walking with God and being a Christian that I ought to be. Folks, don't give the Lord credit for stuff you are prospering in that's sin. God ain't doing that for you. And if you're truly saved, God will deal with you. He's going to deal with you about it. And if he doesn't deal with you about it, you need to get saved. Don't say, well, if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't be. Hey, and you're doing stuff crooked, illegal, doing stuff wrong. Hey, God ain't in that. God don't contradict his word. Don't praise the Lord for sin. Man, you crazy. Got to deal with that. Amen. And that's a whole message I could preach, but the time's gone. New beginning. Let's all stand. Court's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar's open.